So I was asked today to talk about connecting with the Word and tips on how to study the Bible. And so one of the things I thought, when I hear the word study, I don't know about you guys, but I think about school, and I think about homework, and I think about things I don't want to do. So I want to change our thinking when it comes to the Word of God. And I was praying about this and thinking, what can I share to do that? And I thought, what better thing to do than share my personal testimony and how God has used His Word and His Spirit to change my life. So I want to start, there's two events in my life that are very, very important to the story that I want to share with you. The thing is that God saved me before I ever knew Him. And what I'm talking about is I was born in South Louisiana in Cajun country, and my dad left when I was two, so I lived with my mom and my two older brothers. And we lived on a property where my grandfather and grandmother lived, kind of on the same property with us. And so it was in the country, and I loved my childhood and where I grew up. But I was not raised in church. We were loosely Catholic, which means we basically made the sacraments, but we didn't attend church. I didn't know anything about God, let alone what a personal relationship means with God. No clue what any of that meant. So I was raised outside of the church. And so when I was 14, I'm going to share these two events with you to kind of set the stage for what God has done in my life after I received Him. So when I was 14 years old, it was summer. So I was a freshman in high school. I was going to be a freshman in high school, so it was the summer before that. And my middle brother lived with me. My oldest brother was out of the house. But we lived in a shotgun house, which was just basically like a hall and all the rooms are down the hall. And then my mom worked. So that night, there was a huge storm, and I decided to sleep in my brother's room, which was the room all the way to the end of the house. And thank God I did, and I'm about to tell you why. But my mom woke up the next morning, she put some clothes in the dryer, and she left for work. And I was still asleep, and I was the only one in the house. When I woke up, the entire house was, or the entire room I was in was smoke. And so I ran to the door, and when I grabbed the doorknob, it was so hot that I barely could touch it. And just an instinct kicked in and, you know, told me to get out the window. Don't open the door. So I climbed out the window, which through this story, I want you to hear how God saved me before I knew Him. Because most people that are in a room of smoke go into deeper sleep. They don't wake up from that. So I'd climb out the window and I run around the house. And we lived, I guess the house and the fence line, we were probably on about an acre. And the house was kind of in the middle of that. So from the house to the back fence, it was all on fire. My house was completely on fire. So I run around, try to get around the fire. When I get around, my grandfather is on his hands and knees with a water hose, and he's just crying because he doesn't know who's in the house. He doesn't know what to do. And he just yells at me, go call the fire department. So I run, call the fire department, and they come, and they put out the fire. But we lost everything. The house burned completely to the ground. So when they kind of went through the rubble and found a watch in the room I was in, it was only minutes from the time I got out until we called the fire department. So it was, you know, not a lot of time before the fire came in. And had I opened up that door, I don't know if you guys know anything about fire, but they have what's called a backdraft, and it probably would not have been good because I think the fire was right outside that door. So I had no burns, I had no injuries, physically I was okay, but we lost everything, and so we have to start all over again. And I was raised by a single mom who had a job that made $7 an hour, and so we did have some insurance, and so what we did was we bought a house that was already made and moved it onto our property. But we had to start all over, even pictures, baby pictures, that kind of stuff. But my family members, what they did is they took some of their pictures, they put it together for us, and then they gave that to us. So let's fast forward 3 years. So now I'm 17 years old. And one night, I had a friend over. We were watching a movie. And I bring my friend home, and it's late, probably like 1 o'clock in the morning. I come home, get in bed, fall asleep, And then I hear my mom just screaming on the top of her lungs, and I'm thinking, what is she screaming about? So I run out the room, and when I look, the entire living room is on fire. And I see my mom standing in the kitchen, and she's kind of not there. She's freaking out. She doesn't know what to do. She knows me and my middle brother are in there. He was sleeping too. And she doesn't know. She's just yelling for us. And when I get to her, I chose something different this time. Instead of climbing out the window, I chose to run through the fire because I knew I had to help my mom. So I run through the fire, and the ceiling is melting. It's coming down. And so when I get to her, my feet are burned so badly, I can't stand up anymore. So I just drop down. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever been in any kind of situation that was this hard, but your adrenaline kicks in. And you don't feel as much as you would when that goes away. But I kept saying, Mom, we got to get out of here. Mom, we got to get out of here. So I get her, we go out the door, and she's yelling for my brother's name, which I wasn't really thinking about at the time. So I said, Mom, it's okay, go look for him, because I can't stand up. And my grandparents lived, like I said, in the property next to us, but it's through over two driveways. And so what we didn't know is that my brother climbed out of his window, and he ran to my mom's bedroom door, and he punched through the glass. And she wasn't in there. So he ran to mine, and he punched through the glass. And when he did, a piece of the glass fell and cut the main artery in his arm. And he started profusely, like he was bleeding really bad. So he takes off running to my grandparents' house. Now, my grandfather had leukemia. So they were not there. They were not home. But that night, my cousin, for whatever reason, decided to stay at their house. Like I said, God saved me before I knew him. And so when my brother, that happened, he took off running to my grandparents' house, and my cousin was there to let him in. He ran in, and he wrapped a belt around his arm, which ultimately saved his life. But my mom ran to my grandparents' house to look for him, and I'm army crawling across the gravel, across the pasture to my grandparents' house. If you ever get burned, do not army crawl in the dirt. It's not smart. Don't do that. Because I had burns, third degree and second degree, and it was getting really, really dirty. So when I get to my grandparents' house, the ambulance arrives, and they put me on the ambulance. They give me as much morphine as my body can handle. Some of my burns are third degree, which means the nerve endings are burned, but some, the nerve endings are exposed. So when your nerve endings are exposed, when they kept putting a sheet on top of me. Well, a sheet feels like a sledgehammer when it's on your nerves. So I kept pulling it off. They take us to a hospital, or the hospital there, and I'm from a small town, Abbeville, Louisiana, very tiny. They don't know how to handle what we're about to bring them. But they do the best that they can, and they start cleaning. They do what's called debridement, which is the most painful thing. I mean, I have two kids that don't touch it. Fire burns, that is awful. So they start cleaning me off, my feet. My feet were the worst. But they decide pretty quickly that they're going to have to transport us to Baton Rouge. There's a burn unit there. And when I say we, I mean me and my mom. When my brother got there, he went straight to surgery to fix his arm. And me and my mom, which my mom kept saying, help my children, help my children. So they didn't even assess her till after the fact. But and I'm going to share with you about this book in a minute, but whenever we wrote this book, My Word is Like a Fire, I really got my mom, because remember, I'm 17 years old. So I don't really know what's going on like I would today. I don't really understand the gravity of what's going on. But my mom, two times in this story of this fire, in the kitchen and then again in the hospital, she cries out to God, God, save my children. Now, I didn't know that until we wrote this book just a few years ago. So I had no idea she was praying and asking God to help. And she said to me, when she was telling me about that, she said, I didn't know what it was like to have a relationship with God, but I knew that I had to call on him for help because I thought I was going to lose my children. So we go to Baton Rouge, and they take us in, and what they do is they put you in these metal tubs, And everything has to be sterile. That's the main thing with a burn. It has to be sterile. So they're trying to keep everything as clean as possible. They give you more morphine, and then they give you a bath. Awful. And then they do that every day for 2 weeks. A morphine shot and a bath. A morphine shot and a bath. And the goal is going to be to do a skin graft. That's where we're heading toward. And so they take me into surgery, and they basically took skin here from my leg and put it. I have a burn here, one on my thumb, and then I have a big patch here on my shoulder. Now, I had some burns, like in my face, that was just kind of like a sunburn. You know, you could feel it, but it didn't really leave any marks or anything. But so go into surgery, they cover the burn, and it's amazing what that covering does when you wake up, because now the nerve endings are covered. So I would love to tell you that that happened to me, and through that process I came to know Christ, but it's not what happened. What happened was I left that burn unit and went right back to my life and just went back to living, did not realize what God had just saved me from. Didn't have any fear, didn't have any residual from any of that. And so went back to just living my life. And in my life, where I'm from, there's lots of drinking, there's lots of partying, there's lots of crawfish. So you eat crawfish and you drink beer. It's kind of what you do, right? So I went back to that lifestyle. I'm not even of age, and I'm drinking at a young age. And when I turned 18, I got pregnant. And I was not married. And remember, I told you my dad left when I was 2. Keep that in mind, because I'm going to share a little bit more about that story after I talk to you about what God did when we were going to write a book. When I say we, me and Carrie Skinner, who we started Think Life Change together, and he and I were, I was talking to him, and I said, I feel like God's leading me to write a book, and I don't know what it is, but where we started is not where we ended. So I was processing what we had processed to write about, and in doing that, I was reading in the book of Jeremiah, and I'm reading in Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, 29 says this, "Is not my word like a fire?" And it just, like, stood out to me. And I started thinking on that. And so what God taught me was there's two gifts that he gave us here on this earth. One is his word, Jesus, and one is his Holy Spirit. We need both, the word and the spirit. At this point in my life, at the age of 18, I am not a born-again believer. I know nothing about the word of God. But fast forward to when we wrote this book, My Word is Like a Fire, and I read that, I thought, wow, this is what we need to write about. Because the word of God is crucial to the believer. And I think there's a bunch of people that aren't in it, Christians that aren't in it. Now, I want you to think about this. If a firefighter has to read a manual to learn how to fight fire, and this is talked about in here, when he gets to the fire, he can't just know the manual. He has to use the manual now. He has to fight the fire. And there's lots of things about fire that we know basic things. You know, like you're taught in school, if you're on fire, stop, drop, and roll. You know basic things, but you don't know what to put a fire out, how to put a fire out, the depths of it, we don't know. So aren't you glad that there's people that know that so that when you're in trouble, they can come and help you and put that fire out? So I started thinking about how if a firefighter has to know and also utilize the manual, how much more critical is it for the Christian to know and utilize the Word of God? It's our lifeline, right? So how is God's Word like a fire? Well, in my fire stories, it was destruction. Fire destroyed my entire house. The second house, too, same thing. House burned to the ground. So we lost everything twice. There's very few baby pictures of me and my brothers. But the other thing that that the Word of God is like is what fire does is provide warmth. right? So it also gives light. So there's qualities of a fire that really line up, and that's why in the book of Jeremiah, he says, is not my word like a fire? When you're on the right side of things, the fire from God's word is comfort. When you're on the wrong side of things, it's not comfort. So for me, I was on the wrong side of things. So I did not come to know Christ until nearly 9 years after those house fires. 9 years, maybe a little less. And I had my daughter Hannah, and I had a lot of fear when I got pregnant for Hannah because Hannah's here with me today. I had a lot of fear because my dad left when I was 2, and I had a very toxic relationship with him. And it affected me. I was angry for many, many years. Definitely had an unforgiving spirit toward him for many, many years. And all I could do was project my fear onto my little baby that I had. Because I kept thinking, I'm not married. She's going to grow up just like me without her dad. And I didn't want that for her. So I became very, very needy and suffocating to her dad. Here's the thing, though. Her dad, even though we didn't get married, was not like my dad in that he was there for her. He did call her. He did pay child support. He did spend time with her. He was there for her. But I want you guys to hear me because I know most all of us in here are moms. We can parent out of fear a lot of times based upon things we've been through. Now, keep that in your mind because I want to jump a little bit and go to my experience when I did receive Christ because I had no spirit yet. I had no words. So with all of this stuff happening to me, I'm processing it through my own heart without Christ. I'm not seeing it through the lens of Scripture. I'm not seeing it through the Spirit. I'm seeing it through my own processing and my own interpretation of what happened. So when I received Christ, I was 26 years old, and I was invited to a Bible study similar to this. It was for a lot of moms there, and it was intense study. And I went, I have a son, he is 19, and I had him when I was 26. So when I was invited, he was just a little baby. And honestly, I went to that Bible study because I wanted somebody to watch my baby. I was tired and I just wanted a break. So that's why I went. So I think these groups are so important. And so I go and they give me the homework and I go home. And remember, I talked about study and how it's homework. But for me, what happened was when I started reading, and I don't even remember at this point what book we were studying, but I heard about this Jesus. And by myself, in my room, with my Bible, I met Jesus Christ. And I wanted to know him more. So I would say we have to be born again of the Spirit. And that's in John 3. Jesus talks about that. When I was born again, God cleaned out so many things immediately. But there's something that came to my mind that only he could have said to me. Only the Holy Spirit could have said to me, which was, you're going to have to forgive your dad. That was immediate. The other thing that was immediate is, I saved you from those fires for a purpose. You're still here because I have work for you. So I started thinking, there's no reason why I should have survived. And I started seeing the house fires as something totally different. I was very rebellious and hard-headed. So I realize now why I went through so much. Because God, when he showed me what he saved me from and how I should not be alive, I committed my entire life to him and said, whatever you want to do with my life, I'm going to do it. But I think what happens is a lot of times, and I can't know anybody's heart, but only God knows our hearts. So I don't know anybody in here's heart, but I do know for me, the minute I received Christ and I was born again, my desire for the word, it's like I couldn't get enough of it. I was starving for it. Remember, I wasn't raised in church. I didn't even know stories. Like you know, you learn as a baby, you learn about the story of Noah, I didn't know any of that. So I'm learning brand new. But I think what I'm learning as I help women, as I help people, as I teach, as I share my story is we're trying to learn God's word without his Spirit. And so me and Carrie, wrote a book on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a very misunderstood entity of the Trinity, because you can't separate the Holy Spirit from the Word of God, because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of Jesus, and Jesus is the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So if I'm going to understand Scripture, I have to do it through the Spirit of Christ. So I need both, okay? So this book is on the Holy Spirit. This book is on the Word. And I feel like we need to understand these tools that God gave us so that we can be connected to His Word. So here's my prayer for you, is not to learn how to study the Word, but to learn how to have a strong desire for it. So that nobody has to, listen, if you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, nobody has to tell you to read the Word. You can't wait to get there. Think about something you love. You know, having coffee with a friend, I love that. I can do that for 3 hours. I know a lot of you guys can too. We love that. Nobody has to make us do that. If I'm struggling with getting in the Word, maybe I need to ask God to give me the desire. Because I can't generate that desire on my own. I need God's Spirit to lead me in that. So what's happening is, I think, for most of us, we're trying to live the Christian life in our own flesh and in our own ways. But God will equip us through His Spirit to have the desire to want everything that He has to give to us. So when I look back on the story I told you about with my daughter and putting my fear on her, God showed me as I started walking with Him that, and this the story of Hannah is in here, a little bit of it about the fear, but God showed me that perfect love casts out fear. Even though I had her before I was married, before I knew Jesus, God created Hannah. And He had a purpose for her life as well. And I needed to trust Him in that. And so when I hear perfect love cast out fear, that's God's love. So in order for us to parent our children, we have to realize that our children are God's. And people will say, parenting didn't come with a manual, but it did. It did come with a manual. It came from the Creator. The manual is the Word of God. But what I did in my walk is I came to know Christ when I was 26. Hannah was 7 years old at the time. And I had a baby at the time as well. But all I knew how to do was be open and honest and just walk in learning how to grow in my love relationship with Christ. And in doing that, through that process, she came to know Christ at a young age. And then my son came to know Christ at a young age. And then my husband, and then God just started cleaning out so much of my life and got rid of the fear to tell me, Allison, I'm going to take care of Hannah and I'm going to take care of Parker and you just have to trust me with them and let me take care of them. And so that wasn't an overnight thing. That's a daily thing that we have to do. But what I would like to see for people is I would like to see people loving the Word of God. Not studying it, but building a relationship on it. Because your relationship with the Word is directly related to your relationship with Christ, because He is the Word. So if I'm not spending time in the Word, then I'm not building my relationship with Christ. And He has a Word for us every single day. And so I want you to think about this. Jesus said we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind. So I kind of want to do this exercise with you, is where is our heart? It's on the inside. Where is our mind? It's on the inside. Where's our soul? It's on the inside. You see where I'm going? We need to love Christ from the inside out. So I know, like, just like me, there's times in my life where I get frustrated. God's trying to teach me something. He's trying to show me something in my heart. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to forgive my dad. I don't want to do that. Our flesh doesn't want to do that. But if it means I get to get closer to Christ, and grow in my walk and fellowship with him and get to know him more, and I do desire him, then I want to do that. Well, God really set me free from an unforgiving spirit toward my dad. And it wasn't until a few years in that one day, and I'll end with this, one day I was sitting in a Bible study, and it was interesting. They had you hold nails in your hands and pray. And so I'm holding these nails, and I'm close my eyes, and I hear in my spirit, "Allison, I took those nails for your dad too." And that broke my heart. And all that struggle up to that point was like washed away. My dad is not different. He's the same, but I'm different. God set me free. And now I can talk to him about Jesus, and God's given me some opportunities to do that. So I don't know what you guys struggle with or what your relationship is like with Jesus. But what I want to see from people is that we can get honest about that. Because listen, when I tell you I didn't want to, I didn't want to. But on the other side of God setting me free, it's the most beautiful life that I've ever lived. It's in freedom and love and joy and peace. And I wouldn't trade that for the world. It doesn't mean I have to be in a close relationship with my dad, but God has set me free from that. So here's what I want you to think about. And there's some books out there for purchase if you guys want. The books that we sell really help the ministry. We do offer counseling, and there's cards out there if you want to pick one up. And there is a cost to counseling, but kind of like the way this group is set up, we also have help financially for people that can't afford it. But there's three books out there. These two, which are ones I shared from briefly, and then there's a devotional out there called Gifts from God. And it's called Gifts from God because God gave us two gifts, His Word and His Spirit. And so it kind of goes along with this, the devotional does. So the books are out there for purchase if you want to get one today. But I want to just encourage you that if you're struggling right now to get in God's Word, what we tend to do is when we're struggling, we just beat ourselves up. We just condemn ourselves. But what I want you to do is just get honest about where you are with God. And tell Him, "Lord, I need your help. I need your help in this. Give me the desire to love you." And when you pray something like that, guess what God's going to do? He's going to answer those requests. So my prayer for each and every one of you today is that you can get such a desire to be with God that no one has to tell you to get in His Word, but you want to every single day. Because that's going to be something that is going to help your children a whole lot if you're walking in God's Spirit and they're experiencing Him. So thank you guys for having me today. And let me pray before I get off the stage. Lord, thank you so much for every single woman in this place. I don't know their struggle. I don't know what they're battling. I don't know the difficulties that they face. But I do know you. And I know what you're capable of and how you can make a difference and set people free in their lives. And so I pray that you would prick all of our hearts today to have a desire to get to know you more. Lord, everlasting life is you, getting to know you. So I pray that over everybody here today. And I pray that your Spirit, if there's people in here that have not ever been born again, show them that. Reveal yourself to them. And as they go into their groups, Lord, teach them about who you are. And help us, God, to begin to utilize the gifts that you gave us. Again, I thank you for every lady in this room and what you're going to do in their life, Lord. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.